Are you guilty of self-sabotage? Well, guess what? We all are to some degree. Today, we're going to be diving into how if you want to succeed, you have to stop planning to fail. Now, you might say, planning to fail? What are you talking about? I put effort, so much effort into everything I'm trying to achieve, especially when it comes to my health, especially when it comes to losing weight. Well, today, we're going to dive a bit deeper and talk about why maybe there's a hidden part of you that's self-sabotaging. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about that more. And before we do, though, I want to say welcome back to another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm health expert Ted Rice, coach to CEOs, entrepreneurs, and other high-performing professionals. And what we do here on the Legendary Life Podcast is we break down science-based information on how to lose fat, prevent disease, and live a longer, healthier, legendary life. And on Fridays, we take a different approach. We have a conversation. We keep the tip of the iceberg conversations for Monday, talking about the tactics, the science behind behavior change, the science behind nutrition, interviews with experts. But on Friday, we go below the surface. You ever seen a picture of an iceberg where you just see the tip, but all that foundation is below the water and you don't even see it, except in those photos that people share around the internet? I mean, I've never been up close and personal with an iceberg before. So that's what we do on Friday. And before we hop into this discussion today, I want to just share with you about a survey we're doing. We are taking your opinion, your feedback on how to make this show better. So if you've got something on your mind and you would love to share it with me and you've just been like, how do I let Ted know how he can make his show better? This is your opportunity. Go to legendarylifepodcast.com/survey and fill it out and let me know. So let's get back to it. And we're going to use weight loss here as the example. So people look for reasons why they can't succeed in their goals. In fact, I've lived this. When I was in my 20s, I was pretty lean. In fact, you may have even seen those pictures circulating on social media, or perhaps we even sent them to you in your email box if you happen to be signed up to our list. And I thought I knew so much when I was in my 20s. I mean, how could I not know so much? I mean, look at my body. And then my 30s hit. And instead of being broke and not being able to afford that much food, literally, all of a sudden, I was more successful financially. I could go out to eat more. And even though in my 20s, I was going out a lot and drinking, I would go out and dance all night. I mean, all night I was up walking around, dancing, standing, dancing, talking, walking. But then I got serious in my late 20s and 30s, and I stopped all that. And another big shift is that I stopped doing jiu-jitsu competitions. So I stopped training jiu-jitsu so hard because it was tearing up my joints. And I really needed to focus on my business. And so what happened? Well, I thought I knew all the tricks. I was doing these really intense workouts and they lasted about 20 minutes, but I was huffing and puffing so hard. I knew I was not just burning massive amounts of calories in 20 minutes, but building massive amounts of muscle. Not. But I thought I was. And what else was I doing? Oh, I was eating low carb. Oh, carbs make you fat. So I didn't buy fruit for years. I want you to think about that. For like, I would say a solid 10 years, I hardly ever bought fruit. And when I say hardly ever, I mean a few times a year I would bring fruit to my house. I subsisted on eggs, meat, chicken, not even fish. I didn't eat fish in those days unless I was out and it was once in a while. Meat, beef, chicken, maybe some bison, and vegetables. And of course, I would binge eat on some Häagen-Dazs ice cream or Joe Stonecrab's key lime pie, which if you ever find yourself in Miami Beach, go to and you like snow crabs or stone crabs rather, go to Joe Stonecrab's and make sure you get a slice of the key lime pie. It's phenomenal if you like tart ice cream. is basically what it is. Buttery graham cracker crust. Amazing. So I was doing everything right nutritionally. At least that's what the gurus told me. I was doing these crazy 20-minute workouts. At least I thought they were crazy. But I never got the results I wanted. I got fat. I thought I could make up for all those minutes of walking, all the exercise I was doing before by some really hard, at least they felt hard to me, 20-minute workouts two or three times a week. But it didn't work. And I was so upset because I'm an expert at this point. I've been in the game for over a decade. If anybody's been in a profession, living and breathing it for over a decade, I mean, you should know a thing or two. You should be at least somewhat comfortable calling yourself an expert. And boy, did I think I was one. But I was a fat expert on weight loss and getting in shape. Not good. And I was convinced it wasn't what I was doing. I was convinced that maybe I had just partied a little too hard in my 20s. Maybe I just took a few too many of those MDMA pills, Molly, they call it right now. Or maybe, you know, I just damaged my metabolism. Maybe I damaged my hormones. In fact, I got a hormone test and it showed that my estrogen levels were elevated. So I said, of course, I've got high estrogen levels. That's what's causing this fat to stay on my body. And that's why it's so hard to get in shape, even though I'm doing so many of the right things. But it never occurred to me, at least during that time, maybe what I was doing wasn't right. Maybe it wasn't me. Maybe what I was doing was wrong. And what was I suffering from? Because during this time, let me tell you, I was looking online just like you. I was Googling hormones, fat loss. What stops fat loss? How do you get rid of stubborn fat? How do you work out to lose fat? And people tell you high intensity interval training, get rid of the carbs. And that had worked for me. At least I thought it did. And so I was suffering from confirmation bias. What is confirmation bias? You probably heard that term thrown around a bit, or maybe not. But it's the human tendency to seek, interpret, and remember information that confirms your own pre-existing beliefs. It affects every choice you make every single day, from what you choose to buy, to your health, to who you choose to marry, to your finances. It is going on in the background without most of us being aware of it. And finally, I don't know what the catalyst was for my shift in my thinking, but I started considering that maybe I was wrong. Oh, I think it was talking to experts online on the podcast. What an amazing time we're living in. I would have been stuck maybe had I not had guys like Alan Aragon on the show and Lane Norton on the show. Lane's a bit controversial if you follow him on Twitter or social media at all or YouTube. But I remember having a conversation with him, and maybe you might remember my conversation with Lane too. I said, yeah, Lane, well, you know, I'm not really into tracking my nutrition, tracking my macros, you know. And he said, Ted, you should give it a try. I think you'll be really happy with the results. And I finally realized, hey, you know what? There is something here that I'm missing. After that, I went on to get super duper lean. I was compared to Bruce Lee, which I take that as a great compliment. It's never been a big goal of mine to get huge muscles. I don't like the look. I never wanted to be a muscle head, you know, that super muscly look. So that was, and by the way, I was bigger than Bruce Lee. I think it was like 120 pounds. I was 180 pounds or 185 pounds. So I wasn't super duper, you know, like his size, but I was almost as lean as Bruce Lee, if not just as lean. And what I'm trying to share with you here is, and why this matters, is that there are belief systems that control our lives. And here's the kicker. They may or may not be true. And sometimes in psychological terms, they might not be helpful. We're not going to talk too much about that today unless I go off on one of my rants, or tangents really is what they are. And what I'm suggesting to you here is that you need to challenge them in order to live a better life. challenge your confirmation bias. I want to tell you about a client of mine who signed up to my group training, my group coaching program when I was running it. It's closed for the moment. Not sure if we'll ever open it back up. Sorry to say, but it was an amazing experience. Really enjoyed the group energy. It was a lot. It was like herding cats because so many badasses signed up to the group coaching. It was so much fun. And this person, they signed up and we had numerous talks. So it really was hands-on. It was group coaching, but if I saw someone was having a problem, I got in there, I got hands-on. I made sure I talked to every single person inside the group one-on-one if they needed it. And this person, I remember having the conversation with them. I was like, why do you think you've been struggling with weight loss? Well, yeah, I've got a metabolism issue and this and that. She named off a few things. And I asked her, well, I talked about metabolisms and how that there aren't slow metabolisms. There might be a little bit slower than other people, but most of it is people who weigh more actually have faster metabolisms. It takes work. It takes food to maintain a large weight. And then I asked her, I was like, didn't you see my post and how I changed my body and went from being 24% body fat to super duper 10, probably under 10% body fat? And she said, yeah, but I just thought you had a fast metabolism. I'm like, fast metabolism, but then how come I struggled for so long? Oh, I don't know. You know, that's an example. I'll sit here and tell you they don't exist. I'll show you proof of it. I'll show you scientific proof of it. And then what do you take away? Oh, yeah, well, you know, it just fast metabolism. It's like there's no evidence for it, but somehow you have this belief in your head that it's a real thing. And in your defense, if you happen to be a person who buys into this, then I get it. So many people tell you that in the health and fitness space. They want to make you feel good. Oh, it's you're not you, it's your slow metabolism. I see it, right? I look at things. It pisses me off, to be honest. I have to avoid, you know how you probably get triggered with political arguments or social justice arguments? Well, I don't really get triggered by that stuff. For me, when I see someone who makes money in this space helping people, quote unquote, helping people saying, oh, it's your metabolism. Let's reset your metabolism. And I don't even mind if they say words like that, but then explain and educate people, because that's what you got to do with folks these days. You got to say, you got to slap some marketing term on your program, but at least when you have them, tell them the truth, because the truth is how we get results. And so I want to ask you, are you guilty of that? And so let's talk about this a little bit, because this is crushing your life. It's the part of the iceberg that nobody can see, but it forms the foundation. It's the roots of the tree that you can't see. And a tree will only grow as big as the roots. I don't even know if that's true, to be honest. That's like something I've heard somewhere. But what I'm trying to say is this foundational stuff, if you don't get it handled, it's going to show up in your life, and it probably is showing up in your life as lack of results. So here's what I want to tell you. First of all, when you start something new, this is especially true with weight loss programs or fat loss or body transformation is what I say I do. People are so excited. And it's like, well, have you tried things in the past? Oh, yeah, I don't even know how many diets I've been. 10, 20 diets, maybe 30, got no idea. But a lot of them, all of them, right? How many diets have you tried? All of them. I've had someone say that before. Of course, they were joking, but just to give me the impression just of where they were psychologically, right? Like, I've tried it all here. So when you go back to try something, the motivation is high. And you're good, especially if you get some results right away. But it's when you start struggling that when those negative thoughts come in, isn't it? You're like, all right, scale is going down. Boom, boom. Who's the best? Me? And then, oh, wait a minute. Hasn't gone down in a few days. Oh, my gosh. Really? But I've been perfect. oh, this isn't going to work for me. Oh, I just should stop. Oh, I got to stop this. This is just, it's not going to work. I should give up. That my metabolism is slowing down again. I know it. Look at the scale. It was going down and then it stopped going down and my metabolism slowed down. I must be in starvation mode. This is when it happens, when those struggles start. And I want to also say this, if there's a goal that you have in your life and it's a bit daunting or overwhelming, but you know you want to accomplish it, this is another place where that confirmation bias will come in and sabotage you. And here's what's kind of interesting, right? Because we talk as if we're experts. No, I know for sure I just can't lose weight. I just can't get in shape. It just doesn't work. But you're not an expert in it, right? And I don't mean just you. I mean, we all do this. I want to say that I don't do this anymore, but I'm sure if I ask someone who knows me really well, they would say, no, Ted, you do it in this area of your life. So we all do this. I want you to think about that. So you're not an expert. You don't help people with it. In fact, you're not good at it at all because you're not getting results, but you believe that you know the answer. How weird is that, right? It's a little weird, a little strange. And so what I want you to do, let's talk about the tools to overcome this confirmation bias, overcome these negative thoughts that come up. Number one is recognize if a goal isn't going well, it is probably your approach and not the fact that you're destined to fail. I'm going to repeat that again. If your efforts towards achieving your goal are not going well, it is probably your approach and not the fact that you're destined to fail. And if we wanted to take this a level deeper, which I'm not going to, I'm just going to lightly reference it. But I'm going to say, why is it that we internalize the failure too and say that it's us? How come we don't say, oh, it's not the approach? Why do we say we are failures? Why don't we say, oh, that approach sucked, right? Topic for another podcast, maybe. So again, realize if the goal isn't going well, it's probably your approach. Okay. And again, of course, in reason, if you're, I'm 50 years old and I'm competing with 20-year-olds, but I want to win an Olympic gold medal. It's not, you know, come on. We're not talking about things that are crazy, right? Just really out there. I have too many injuries. I'm never going to be a professional athlete unless some science, some technology rather, comes about that allows me to heal all my injuries. And even then, I'm still got some things working against me. But anyway, going off tangent here, again, it's probably your approach because here's the thing. And so many of us, we say, well, I can't be a cover model. You might not be a cover model to a fitness magazine, but can you get better than what you are right now? Of course you can. You might not have the most amazing relationship with your partner or with your kids or with your boss or with your employees, but can you improve it? Of course you can. You may not be the best with money. You may not be the best with putting yourself on a budget. You may be, you know, like me, I'm much more skilled at spending money than saving money, but can you get better? We can all get better. That's the thing. We can all get better. So if you're not getting any results or if it's just, you know, so slow, so ridiculously slow, it's your approach. And what I want you to do is instead of looking for, whenever you feel, oh, I knew it. I knew this wasn't going to work. I knew I can't lose weight or I knew I can't do whatever. Instead of focusing on being right and looking for that confirmation and patting yourself on the back, giving up, approach a situation more like a scientist. This is one of the big game-changing things that I did mindset-wise. Gather data about what works and what doesn't. We have this all or nothing approach. Oh, I tried losing weight and I failed. Therefore, I can't lose weight. It's like, what was the approach that you took? Were you eating too much? Were you eating too little? Did you try to get rid of all the carbs? Did you try to never just eat super clean all the time and then, you know, beat yourself up whenever you had a Oreo cookie or like me, a slice of Joe Stone Crab's key lime pie? Haven't had that in years, actually, but I still remember it. So make a note of what's working for you and what doesn't. Approach things scientifically with that scientific method. Anyone can do this. You don't need a 140 IQ. You need to just sit down and think about it and maybe write some notes. Because the default for most of us is to take the situation personally and try to assess, instead of trying to assess the situation more objectively. One thing that I use with my clients, I ask them, well, when they're freaking out about weight loss, right? Oh, I haven't lost weight in 3 days, man. I'm like, you invest in the stock market. Yeah, you know, I don't spend all my time day trading or whatever, but I've got a few investments. I'm like, okay, well, listen, how do you feel about your investments? Were they solid? You invested in Apple or Tesla or Bitcoin? It's crazy right now. Don't know anything about Bitcoin. And they say yes, of course, because I work with people who've got their stuff together financially. And I say, well, what do you think about when you see a day and the stock market goes down? Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I see it. I mean, I don't watch it every day because it'd probably get me a little crazy. But I know when I see it every once in a while, it goes down. I know that these are long term. Like, if as long as I commit to a certain amount of time, it's going to end up going up for sure. And I say, well, that's what we're doing here, because the progress isn't going to happen linearly. It's going to be the stock market. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. It's going to change day to day. Some days you're really going to like it. Other days, it's going to feel like you're going backwards. But ultimately, you got to step away from the day to day and look at the entire month. And also, you need to survive psychologically while this is going on. I usually have my clients weigh themselves every day, but when something comes up and they're like, this weighing in every day is driving me crazy. I said, okay, well, we can do it twice a week then. Well, actually, I didn't tell them. I said, well, what are you comfortable with is what I tell. I don't tell people what to do. I always ask them first, what do you want to do here? Twice a week. Okay, I'm cool with twice a week. Let's do it. But I think we should all strive to get to the point where we're emotionally healthy enough so that we can step on and get some data and take it for what it is. It's just a number. It doesn't tell you how much fat's there. It doesn't tell you how much muscle is there. Why the strong emotional connection? Okay, yeah, because of our childhood, because of society. Okay, but time to reprogram yourself. And how do you do it? By going through these ups and downs and talking to yourself along the way. Again, when that weight goes up, telling yourself, oh yeah, I knew this wasn't going to work. Oh, I'm gaining the weight back. No, you don't know. Why would you say you know? You don't know. You don't know what that is. Go get a DEXA scan is what I tell people. I'm like, look, if you're freaking out, go get a DEXA scan. But I don't want to talk about your feelings until we have some numbers, because that's the big thing now. We have so much technology. We have everything that we need to succeed. We have all this data that can help us make better decisions, but our minds are so out of control and stuck in our messed up childhoods or relationships from the past that didn't work out and they made fun of your weight or whatever. I don't know what it is, but our minds are so messed up. We're living in the best time in history and our minds are so messed up. We're in the richest country in the world, one of the best places to be in the world. And our minds are stopping us from enjoying it. It's crazy. And listen, I'm not pointing the finger. I'm right there with you. Okay. I struggle with a lot of this stuff. And so another thing that's super important is that you got to have some calming skills or practices to keep your emotions manageable. Meditation, massage, going for a walk in nature. Yesterday, I want to be honest with you, I was in a real bad mood. And then I took a walk outside and I went somewhere and it broke the bad mood up. I had to talk to some people so I couldn't be in my head because I wasn't in a bad mood. It wasn't like, you know, oh, my dad's dead. Well, you know, my life is great. No, it wasn't that. I was just feeling bad. But as soon as I got outside of this place that I've been stuck in, which so many of us are, you know, this is should sound familiar to you. Right? We're stuck inside all the time, working from home. Now you know what my life has been like, except it was much easier before. I would go out. I had a very rich social life before, but now we don't, right? So we've got to have some calming practices or skills. And I'll tell you, in Western culture, and especially in American culture, calming, that's not something we do. That's not something we get taught. Most people's calming is eating food or drinking alcohol, both of which will set you back if you're trying to lose body fat. I've had so many conversations. Hey, when you're this hard on yourself, what does that do to your stress levels? Oh yeah, well, when I'm hard on myself, it drives my stress up even more. I said, okay, and what does that do to your eating habits? Yeah, I have more cravings. I get more upset. It's harder to say no to the cravings, and usually I end up giving in. And then how does that make you feel? Oh, well, then I beat myself up for going for the food, and I need to try even harder next time. And what does that do? Well, it raises my stress levels. And do you see what's going on here? The answer is not to beat yourself up. The answer is to calm yourself down. I don't care what you do, deep breathing, meditation, kundalini yoga, get a massage, go for a walk, get out in nature, go for a walk with some friends, even better. But if you don't have calming skills and or practices, you're messing up in life. And I don't mean from my standards, I mean you're really making life hard for yourself. No need to do that. And the last thing I want to say, if you're really struggling here with developing self-awareness, objectivity, maybe you need to work with someone. Maybe you need to hire a coach. If the issues are a little bit deeper, pull the trigger. Work with a therapist. Oh, but then I have to look for a therapist, and then, you know, what if the therapist isn't? And look, for most of us, the truth is finding someone who's good enough is better than trying to find the perfect person. That's the truth. Finding someone who's good enough. Just find someone who's good enough, because a lot of the benefit of talking to someone is the relationship with that person and having someone to talk to. And of course, the fact that you're actually taking action on this area of your life. So hire a coach, pull the trigger, stop messing around. Or if you're really having problems, hire a therapist. I hired someone from Talkspace and when I was traveling around, I worked with someone on Talkspace. Now I'm looking for a new therapist, but it was super helpful when Giselle and I split up. Oh man, I was in a dark place after that breakup. A separation after 7 years of being together is like losing, it's like a death in the family. It's the death of a life that you had, it's the death of a life that you both had together. And now it's dead, it's gone. Rest in peace, right? Except I wasn't resting in peace, I was struggling. And then I was like trying to date again. That brought up a whole nother set of issues. The therapist was there for me once a week, and we worked through it twice a week if I needed her. We worked through it. If I remember correctly, I think it was like $1,200 for 3 months, something like that, or maybe even $1,000. And I signed up for the 30 minute sessions once a week, and I would do more sessions and pay more if I needed more. Invest, do this, right? Take action. Especially if you're struggling, especially if you've been struggling on your own, especially if you've asked for support from your friends, from your spouse, and you haven't gotten it, and hire someone. Don't mess around. And I'll share one thing with you. I've been struggling in business, and I have a unique struggle now because my business isn't, it's not, oh, I need to make money so I can pay the bills. It's more like, okay, I made money with coaching. I'm doing well, but I want to do something bigger. I want to reach more people. I want to write more. I want to write a book. I want to write for publications. I want to get on social media more. And I joined a coaching group, which is another thing you can do. You don't have to necessarily hire a one-on-one coach. You don't necessarily have to hire a one-on-one therapist. You can do group therapy. You can find a group coaching program. But invest in it. Invest in yourself. If you're struggling, right? If you can't get the results that you want on your own, if you can't do this stuff on your own, stop messing around. If it's important for you, hire a coach, invest, pull the trigger. The person who says, no, I can't afford that. I can't do that. I can't, because people who are doing well financially, but they don't want to budget the money, say they can't afford it financially. People with money, they are worried about whether they'll actually do it, whether they can have the time to do it. Those are the two distinctions there. So high performers who do well financially, it's never about the money, they can afford it. It's just a matter, can I afford it time-wise? Will I make room for it time-wise? And it's really a matter of priorities. So if this is really a priority for you and you want to get it fixed, that's what I personally do. And guess what? It works. And it doesn't just work for me. It works for everybody. Having a coach or therapist works. Especially with therapy, there's a ton of research on therapy, especially with cognitive behavioral therapy. Do it, okay? There's no need to suffer. There's no need to, it's not a good thing. It's not respectable. Our culture, oh yeah, I gotta work, I work so hard. Oh yeah, work, yeah. No, it's not respectable. It's stupid. It's from our parents who were even crazier, right? So don't be like your parents. You love your parents, but I'm sure you don't want to be like them, right? So, and for the some of you that have like super stellar superhero parents, awesome. But for most of us, we have the parents that, well, they did their best. How good of parents did you have? Well, they did their best. They did their best, you know. I love my dad, love my mom, but they did their best, you know. So listen. So those are the things I got to say about this and conquering this. So recognize that if a goal isn't going well, it's probably your approach and not the fact that you're destined to fail. And again, one of the ways you can change your approach is to focus less on being right and looking for reasons why you are not losing fat, but look for information, look for data, what's working, what doesn't, you will figure it out. Okay. And again, if you're suffering from a lot of anxiety, and not full-blown anxiety disorders, but if you're suffering from stress and anxiety, you've got to have some calming skills or practices. And if you don't, well, you don't know what you're doing. You're not adulting. You're being a child, okay? You're being a child, all right? You're still listening to your overbearing parents or your overbearing father or mother, or maybe it was both of them telling you, that you need to do better. And so that voice is still with you instead of realizing you need to disconnect, you need a break, you need to go to a beach that's what I need right now is a beach. So that's why I'm saying it. I need a beach, damn it. So make sure you have some calming skills or practices. And again, hire someone to help you. Don't do this alone. Everyone who's successful has a coach. And if you want to make your success journey whatever path you're on, if you want to make it so that you actually get results with less headaches, less hitting your head against the wall, hire a coach. That's all I got. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. All right. That's all I got. Look, again, we're doing a survey. If you got something that you'd like to share, if you'd like to tell me, we've already got some people saying, Ted, I would like it if you cuss less. And I'll be honest, I don't like cussing. I cuss a lot in conversation, but because it's natural for me, but I don't like it when I hear it, when I hear it recorded. So I'll make sure that I rein it in. I know it can be, but it's powerful to illustrate points. I'll say that though, or else you wouldn't be telling me to rein it in. But I do read everything that you tell me. Thanks so much for the feedback. And if you got something to get off your chest or perhaps some suggestions, you want to tell me what's on your mind, go to legendarylifepodcast.com/survey. Legendarylifepodcast.com/survey. And the other thing I want to say here is I'm active on Twitter right now. I'm Twittering hard. And I know it's an interesting place to be, but Facebook has this, you got to be friends with each other thing. And Instagram, it's got all these, you know, it's nice for pretty pictures, but yeah, I'm on Twitter. So let's keep the conversation going there. My handle is T @TED_RYCE, at Ted Rice. Follow me. Let me know you listen to the podcast. Let me know what, and most importantly, let me know that you're taking action and what you're taking action on. That's what I want to hear. What are you taking action on? We're all like, so we've read so many self-help books and listened to so many podcasts. Come on, what are you taking action on? I don't want to know what book you're reading. I don't want to hear what podcast you're listening to. Actually, we do ask you that in the survey, but I'm saying the part of me that cares for you wants to know, what are you taking action on? Now, the business person wants to know all that other stuff, but the part of me that cares about you wants to know what action you're taking, okay? What action are you taking? So hit me up on Twitter and let me know. That's all I've got. Have an incredible weekend. Love you lots and speak to you on Monday.